Well, first I want to say thanks for inviting me back. I know it ain't y'all's choice, it's Pete's, so y'all are stuck with me again. So I think I've shared this with you before, but in high school, I didn't talk to anybody, just my friends. I didn't go out of my way to talk to people, especially about Jesus. And I was very, very, I would say backwards. That's what my mom would say. I was very backwards. And then I remember my very first time I was preaching. I think it was 10 to 15 minutes long, straight through my notes. And I was like, this will last 45 minutes. And it was over real quick. And then now my wife and mom have the audacity to ask me how many pages I got, acting like I'm long-winded and stuff. But no, I'm gonna not try to keep y'all very long. Well, they left me 40 minutes, so we may be here. No, I'm going to keep y'all short today. And if y'all want to, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. That song, Graves in the Gardens, it says, there's nothing better than Jesus. And I know most of y'all are all been in church for a while. I mean, there is nothing better than Jesus Christ. And so many times in our lives, we like to take the world and try to fill gaps in our life when all we need is to fill it with Jesus. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, so do not throw away your confidence, it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For just in a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. That last part says, in just a little while, He who is coming will come and He will not delay. I don't know about y'all, but has anybody ever thought about quitting something in your life? Quitting a job or quitting something that you really, maybe it's a dream or a career that you really thought you were going to be in, you thought about quitting. Or maybe you thought about quitting your marriage at one point in your life, or you thought about quitting praying for something, like you've been praying for something for years and you haven't seen any progress and you just wanted to quit. You just wanted to throw in the towel. You're just like, I'm done. That's the easy thing, to just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. Maybe it's you've tried to give up an addiction and you're quitting up, giving up on that. Maybe you're like, I'm reading my Bible all the time, but I'm not seeing any closer to God, and you're just going to quit. Well, church, I have been in those situations where I have wanted to quit in life. I'm here to tell you, don't quit, because just in a little while, He who is coming, and He's not going to delay. He's coming. And I know this is talking about Jesus coming back, but I wanted to put this in a perspective that in your situation and in your life, in just a little while, God is going to do something for you. In just a little while, if you can hold on, if you persevere. So don't settle for less. If you know God has promised you something and you know for sure that that's what's going to happen, you hold out. You don't throw in that towel and you persevere. There was a Harvard professor. She did a study on what makes successful people successful. And she went to one of the, I think, West Point Academy, then went to a inner city school and the teachers to see how long they would last, and then also went to like a junior high spelling bee where those kids can spell anything and everything way better than I can. And you would think, what would be the common denominator for successful people? You would think it would be their IQ. Well, I'm glad to tell you that it's not their IQ, because if it was based on IQ, I would not be very successful. But she went in and it studied all these people and individuals, and what made successful people successful was their ability to adapt to adversity. Basically, put in a tough situation and be able to overcome that. And I can tell you, as Christians, we are built for adversity. Because sometimes God will allow things to happen in our lives where it feels like we're to our breaking point, where we want to quit. But just in a little while, church, He is going to prove it Himself through and through. So I want to go over a couple topics here. Is why do we give up? Ask yourself that. Why do you give up on things? Is it just because you're weak will, or just has it been too long of a journey and you're just tired of it? I know personally why I give up on things. But the study showed the number one reason for people giving up or quitting is our perspective is often limited. So what's that mean? We like to put blinders and we get tunnel vision and we just see, we focus on one thing and we lose sight and perspective of how much or where we're going. So our perspective is often limited. You know, a lot of times we look at other people's lives as perspectives. You're like, look how further along they are in their life, or look where they're at, how successful they are. And you can't judge your life on someone else's life. So your perspective is often different. All right, turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. And I'm just going to give you some examples here in the Bible about some perspective being limited. So 6, we'll start in 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord Jesus said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days." So if you look there in verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred. Ain't nobody coming in, ain't nobody coming out." And that's the perspective that the Israelites stuck with. They said, nobody's coming in. How in the world are we supposed to take this city? How in the world are we going to do it? But in verse 2 it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, I've already delivered Jericho to your hands." And so many times God's already told you that He has delivered you. He's going to give you this and that. And you're going to overcome something. But we get stuck up on the first part where it says, ain't nobody coming in or out. These walls are so high, they're so secure, nothing's going to happen. And that's where we get stuck in our lives. And as from an Israelite point of view, I don't blame them. So this wall, the city of Jericho, it's not a massive city. But God is telling Joshua, tell these men to walk around it once a day for 6 days. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, all they see is these walls. And they can't see what God has promised them on the inside. All they see is the wall. So their perspective is very limited. They can't see what God's promised. All they see is this wall. And then they probably have this attitude of wanting to quit. So a lot of times in our life, I won't use this as a towel, but let's use this as a wall. And if my objective is to get to that back door, and I have a wall in front of my face, I can't see where I'm going. I can't see what I want. And a lot of times my life after life and life and life happens, you get weary, you get beaten down, because you can't see what God's promised you. You know what it is, but you can't see it. Like I said, Jericho wasn't a massive city. And all they could see was this wall. Like, oh, how? And now, that scripture we read, this is God talking to Joshua. This is not God talking to the Israelites. And then Joshua is relaying this message. So Joshua was just relaying part of the information. And as an Israelite, I would be very, very down on myself and disappointed, because we've been in this for 40 years. They've been in the wilderness 40 years. And for 40 years, they've seen miracles and miracles and miracles and what God's promised them. But now this wall is in front of them, and they're going to feel like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to overcome this? And let me tell you, there's a lot of walls and giants in our lives that make me feel like that. How, Lord, I know you've done it. I just seen you do it there. How am I going to see you work in this? And we start beginning doubt in our lives. Look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, let's just a quick verse there. Jonah chapter 1. Everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? We know he got eaten by fish and let's just read scripture first here. Jonah 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of an Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because it is wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from God." So Jonah's perspective was very limited. He has been given assignment from God, and God knows what's going to happen. He already knows the end of this story. He said, there's a people out there that need you, that need me. And Jonah decides to run away. There's a lot of times in our lives that God just tells you, hey, I need you to do this for me. I need you to work on this and this. And we take off in the opposite direction because it just is uncomfortable. It's something that I don't want to do. And also because I can't see how you're going to work in this situation. These people are too wicked, is what Jonah's saying. And then it says, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed. Some of us will pay to run away from God. And that's an attitude and lifestyle I don't want to be a part, is if God's telling me to do something, I'm willing to pay something to get further away from Him. And then, I didn't read this, but in 4 it says, then the Lord sent a great wind. Then the Lord. How many times in our lives is then the Lord did something, but then God? If I look at my life, it's like, well, Jacob screwed up here, but then God showed up and did something big. Or Jacob messed up here, and then God did something. So, we can look at that through the entire Bible as people messing up, but then God. Then God. So Jonah could not, his perception was very limited of what God could do. He knew what he could do, but he just couldn't see it in that situation. And a lot of times we look at people like, well, that's for them. They can do that. Let the preachers and the evangelists, let them preach to people. Let them talk to people. I ain't meant to be a disciple for God. Let me tell you, God, if God has called you to do something, I encourage you, do not run away from Him. Do not quit. Let's take Jesus feeding the 5,000. So it is a crowded place, and Jesus and the disciples, they run up to Jesus, hey, get them out of here. They're getting hungry, they're going to start getting wild up, and we need to get, just tell them to leave. So the disciples' perception was very limited of what God could do. He said, no, you got some fish and bread right there. Let's feed them. And they're like, well, we just got a little bit. Their perception of what God can do. Let me tell you, God can do great things. There's nothing better than Him. And what do we know? He feed 5,000 people and the rest is history. Now, if they would have just quit and said, no, I'm not going to do it, and they just walked away, we lose the entire miracle of that in the Bible. If the disciples say, okay, this Jesus guy's crazy, we're out, we lose the gospel. Let's take Joseph. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. If Joseph, when his brothers threw him in the pit, if he would have just quit, how on earth would he get to where he was to save his family later? If he was thrown into the pit and just quit, I'm thrown in the towel, I'm done, I'm tired of this. Church, we cannot quit on what God's promised for us. If you look at further in his life, he gets accused of wrongful things, gets thrown in prison. That's another reason. If I'm Joseph, I quit a long time ago. But he never quit. He sat in prison, and he made his way to where God called him to be. That he could save his family. So, number two, so we went over, your perception is limited. That is why we quit. Number two, why we give up, the progress isn't always obvious. The progress. So a lot of times in our lives, if you're praying for something and a miracle, let's say you're praying for someone to be healed of cancer, you're not going to see that progress. There's no progress. It just happens. And over your prayers, over time, that just happens. And a lot of times when you don't see progress is where we start giving up, where we start to decide to quit. Let's take the Israelites looking at this wall of Jericho. They are marching around this city every day, one time. Nothing is happening. The walls ain't coming down. They're still standing. But imagine if they're walking and every day they walk a lap, part of the wall just starts falling off. That would encourage me to keep going. So when we see progress, it's easy to continue. But when our progress is not fully seen, it's hard to continue the race. Imagine life as like one of those old retro video games like Donkey Kong or something, and every day in your life, like at the end of the day, it just, I leveled up. I made progress to where God is calling me to be. I made progress. Or yeah, I remember on Donkey Kong, you'd start a little phase and you could see every level, and once you beat one, I only got 4 more, I only got 3 more. If life was like that, it'd be a lot easier to keep going, to keep moving. I'm one step closer. I'm one step closer to what God's called me to be. But I can tell you, it's not always like that for us, church. Let's go back to Joshua real quick. We'll continue that story. So Joshua 6, and we're going to skip down. We're going to skip. A bunch of that is just Joshua telling the people what to do. 10 says, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. So now Joshua is telling these men, hey, you're going to march and you're going to not talk at all. Okay, that would be mentally tough for me, not be able to talk. We're just marching. And I can just picture now them marching, and you've got the people of Jericho on top of the wall looking down. What are they doing? Oh, we're just marching. They're just marching. What are they doing? Are they talking? Are they getting a battle plan together? No, they're just walking. They're just walking. And I can't, this is not biblical, but let's go into some detail. Why would Joshua tell them to not talk? And this is what I think the reason was, because let's just picture you're walking. So what do, if you're talking to your buddy here, what are we doing? Why are we marching? Why are we walking? Well, I can tell you what, this wall's not coming down. I'm about to quit. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to give up. That's probably their mindset. That's why Joshua knew if they're talking to each other, but let me tell you, people around you, if you don't surround yourself with good people, will mess you up. And so if they're talking, if they're allowed to talk, and they're, oh man, I'm just going to give up. This wall, we can't see no progress. This wall ain't coming down. It would get old after a while, just walking, and then you and your buddy talking, there's no progress. And then word just gets out to the entire camp that we're not, you know what, we're going on strike. We're not marching tomorrow. We're going to give up. We're going to throw in the towel. If that was the case, guess what? The walls don't fall. Let me just spoil the story for you of Joshua. The walls do come down. They do come down. They do fall. And I promise you in your life, the walls and giants of your life will fall down if we persevere. So they're probably walking and just marching, being quiet. In my mind, mentally, I'm thinking, this is pointless. This wall's not coming down. There's nothing happening. And you know, also, a lot of times in our life, we can take the pain of things in our life, or we can take the struggles, if we know what God's promised us or something is in sight. So let's take an example. Let's say you're just waiting for marriage. You're keeping yourself pure. If God promised me my wife, which, how old am I? I'm getting old. How old was I, babe, when we got married? 27, 28. If I knew at the time, back then, if God said, hey, here's your wife, this is going to happen right here, it would have been a lot easier knowing for a fact this was going to happen. Okay? Or in my wife's case, if she knew that God's going to bless you with a hunk in 6 months, then it probably been a lot easier. But life don't happen like that. It's a lot easier if you know for a fact that, okay, this is going to happen. I can run this race. I can keep the faith. A lot of times, like I can tell you, if someone was to tell me if I would just cut out fast food, I would be ripped. I guarantee I'd cut out fast food. But that's not as easy as it looks. It's not just cutting out that to get ripped. It's a process. So a lot of times, if the pain is worth it, if we can see the progress. But our progress is not always fully displayed. A lot of times Lord, I'll keep going if. Lord, I'll just keep moving if. And we like to argue or debate or persuade God in our life when it's not His will. We like to, God, I'll do it if this or if that, but that's not how God works. And a lot of times, like I said earlier, we look at other people's progress and look how much progress they're making. You see their progress, but you can't see your progress. And then you get down on yourself and you want to quit because look how successful that person is. Or look how successful they are. But look where I am. God, I'm on my knees every day praying and I'm not getting where I want to get. So, sometimes God tells you to do something and you don't feel God in it. I can tell you, do not live your Christian life by feelings. Because there's a lot of times in church, especially like during praise and worship, you get the goosebumps and you feel the chills and you know the Spirit of God's there. But also there's times in church or even out in the world that you don't have any feelings at all, but I can promise you God is there. So if you base God off your feelings, you only think when you feel good or you feel that feeling that God's there. And that's not the case with Him. He's there all the time. So don't live life by your feelings. You know, I tell you the easy thing to do, if you want to take the easy way out, I tell you the Christian life is not for the faint of heart or for easy. But if you want to throw in the towel and give up, if you want easy. But I promise you, church, if you throw in the towel, it won't be worth it at the end. If I could take you to the end of time and where just an image of heaven, all your heartaches, all your struggles, everything in life that you've gone through would be worth it for that one moment. So I encourage you, do not throw in that towel. Do not give up. And do not quit. The devil, he wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to quit. And he is going to try everything in his power to get you to do so. But we got to run that race. We got to keep the faith. 2 Timothy, I'll read that to y'all, says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith, church. That should be our mission with our walk with Christ, is to, I've kept that faith, I've fought the good fight, and I finished the race. Now, maybe this is for someone who's been faithful for a very long time, and you've thought about throwing in the towel. I encourage you, keep on praying. Keep on seeking God. Keep on wanting that closer relationship with Him. I promise you it will be worth it. You know, some days, so the Israelites were walking around the wall over and over. And I can tell you, some days, maybe day three, day four, some days walking around that wall was tougher than others. The same thing with our walking with Christ and our struggles. Some days are going to feel a lot longer than others. But we just keep on marching. We keep on keeping the faith because those walls will come down. And I can tell you right now, church, I don't know about you, but I have come way too far in my life to turn back or turn my back on God. I've gone through too much. There's no reason to throw in the towel now. I've seen what He's capable of, and I know He can keep doing it in the future. So I tell you, if you're marked, I don't know what lap you're on. You may be on lap one in a situation, or you may be on almost lap seven. But whatever lap you're on, don't quit. Don't quit on lap five. Don't quit on lap four, three, two, or one. Just keep on going. You know, don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit praying for that situation that you want God to move in. Don't quit on praying for your loved ones that need to be saved. Don't quit praying and seeking God. I can tell you, you are closer than you think if you just keep going. If you find a way, maybe one day you fall, just find a way to pick yourself up and just keep going. Because by the end of that, that wall is coming down. I don't know if y'all remember what I shared last time, but let me pull it up here. The scripture that I started off with was Galatians 6 and 9, and it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up," church. In due time, if we do not give up, I promise God has got something big planned for your life. And I, like you said, if we put up that wall, sometimes we can't see what God has for us, but I promise you it's big, and it's in due time if you can keep the faith. So, closing, can the worship team come up and just play and maybe get ready for a worship song? I tell you, so one thing is, don't judge your success off of others. Don't, just because you can't see progress, don't think you're not getting anywhere. Like I said, if I take this and my goal is to get to that door, and if I keep walking, I can't see it, but eventually I'm going to get to that door. It's going to happen. Now, don't quit. Remember, you've gone way too far to turn back. Another thing I'll say is remember why you started the race. Why did you start praying? Why did you start seeking God? Remember that reason, and I promise it'll keep you going. So I'll share this one last story with you. Remember the Israelites, they walked. And on that seventh day, after not seeing progress, the walls finally came down and they got what was promised to them all the entire time. There's a lady named Florence Chadwick. She was the first woman to swim across the English Channel both ways, which is like, I think it's like 20 miles or something. That's a long swim. And she also one day was swimming from the coast of California to the Catalina Islands, which is 26 miles. I can tell you, I couldn't do that. I couldn't even swim a mile right now. But 26 miles, and after 15 hours of swimming, a deep fog just settled in over the bay, and she could not see what was in front of her. She couldn't see where she was going. She couldn't see the island that she was trying to swim to. And she's like, I can't do this. I got to quit. And the people in her boat were telling her, hey, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. You're almost there. And I sadly to inform you that day she quit. She threw in the towel because she couldn't see, and she got in the boat. And when she got in the boat, she was only a half a mile from the shore. 15 hours of swimming just wasted, and she was only a half a mile, church. I encourage you, do not quit. Do not throw in the towel. Do not turn your back on God, because I promise you, this race you're running, this race you're going through, or the situation in your life, you've almost made it. You've gone way too far to give up or turn back. You've almost made it. I'm just going to turn it over, and let's just stand, and let's worship with Him today.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And You meet us in our mourning with the love that cast out fear. You are working in our waiting, sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, You are teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Thank you very much, Jacob. There's a real important message. We can take it lightly. The Israelites, they took it lightly to begin with. And God told them, now's the time to go into the promised land. And they sent spies in, you know. That's what we do. We kind of send spies in, check out things that God tells us to do. I'm standing up here right now because I couldn't send a spy in. He said, go close the surface. There's so many times that we want to ignore what God says to do. They paid a price. 40 years wandering in the wilderness simply because they said the giants are too big. The walled cities are too big. They threw in the towel. And God said, not one of you are going to get into the promised land. It's serious. It's very serious. Thanks again, Jacob. Father, as we go out the door today, may we not throw this sermon away. May we let it come into our hearts and into our lives. May we turn this sermon into our lives as action. Actions of obedience. May we trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to live within us, to live out the things we can't live. I worship and adore you, and thank you again for what you're doing in our body. Amen.